This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
This hadith presents one of the very, very painful punishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presenting on the Day of Judgment for a special category of people. When you look at their sins and their offenses, they don't sound to be of a major thing to us, but to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that offense is great. So what are these three things? Hadith number 1835 in Riyadh al-Salihin, the book of Al-Manthurat wal-Mulah, qala, the book of miscellaneous ahadith of significant values. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ثلاثة لا يكلمهم الله يوم القيامة ولا ينظر إليهم ولا يزكيهم ولهم عذاب أليم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says three categories of people. لا يكلمهم الله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will neither speak on the Day of Judgment to them nor purify them, and there will be a painful punishment for them. Three things: Allah will not look at them, He will not speak to them, and He's preparing a severe punishment for them. Let's talk about these three things. Do you think this is considered punishment? Not to look at you, not to talk to you, and expose the severe punishment? Absolutely. Remember, children and parents, if you'd like to punish your child for misbehaving, what do you do as a parent? The first step, tabani, of course, ya jama, right? What do? You don't look at them. They speak to you, you don't look at them. Why aren't you looking at them? Why are you avoiding giving them eye contact? So they can recognize that you're not happy with them. You're not pleased with them. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not looking at these people, He's telling them, I'm not pleased with you. And everything that we're fighting for in this dunya is for what, the jama'ah? Radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. So we can get the pleasure of Allah Azza, so He'll be pleased with us. That's the whole purpose of it, right? You're coming here for Isha, waking up for Fajr, staying all night in Ramadan, and all of this to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here Allah Azza wa Jalla is not looking at these people in a manner that suits His majesty. The second thing, وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمْ. He's not speaking to them. Your child is talking to you. Your child is talking to you, and you're not looking at them, and you're not speaking to them. Like whatever they say, you don't care. You also punish them with that. Silent treatment between husband and wife, jama'ah. Right? Why aren't they talking to you, even though you're talking to them? Because they're showing you their displeasure, and as a form of, you know, kind of like punishment. Like a reminder that you did something wrong. That's what it means. قال, He says, وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And on top of all of that, they shall receive a painful punishment. May Allah preserve us from this, Ya Rabbil Alameen. There is no doubt, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with somebody, He will look at them. If Allah is pleased with somebody, He will speak to them. And here the hadith says, وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمْ. Allah will not talk to them. However, there are some events in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also in the Quran, where Allah Azza wa Jalla is speaking to the non-believers. He said, قَالَ اِخْسَوْ فِيهَا وَلَا تُكَلِّمُونَ. He's speaking to the people of Jahannam. He goes, اِخْسَوْ فِيهَا. Like, be humiliated. And don't talk to me. In a manner that suits His majesty. What does that mean? So the ulama, they say here that different stations on the Day of Judgment, there will be times when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is punishing people by these threats. And sometimes He punishes them by His divine silence, not talking to them at all. Similarly, sometimes He look at them, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a manner that suits His majesty, that actually it will be punishment for them, and sometimes He would avoid looking at them, so that they know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not even paying attention to them. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. They receive that painful punishment. Who are these people, jama'ah? I'm sure right now we're all riled up, it's like, who are they? And that's what the Sahaba radiallahu anhu usually ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, tell us, who are they? جَلِّهِمْ لَنَا. Explain them to us. We don't want to be among these people. فَقَالَ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ رَجُلٌ عَلَىٰ فَضْلِ مَاءٍ بِالْفَلَاةِ يَمْنَعُهُ مِنْ إِبْنِ السَّبِيلِ. He said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, a man or a person who has spare water in the desert and he refuses to give it to the traveler. He refused to give it to the traveler. Someone in the desert and you have access to water, excess water, not bare minimum, but excess water, and refuse to give it to the traveler. Because the other hadith of the Prophet ﷺ says, "An-nasu shuraka'u fi thalath." People are equally share partners in three things. He talks about people of the desert. He says one is water. قَالَ الْمَاءُ وَالْكَلَأُ وَالنَّارُ. Water pasture, and fire. What does that mean? If someone has excess water, has to share it. Pasture is not just for your animals, for everyone's animals. That's open for everybody in the desert. You can't say that's mine, unless it's private property, that's different. And third, if you have fire, someone comes to you and says, can I have a torch please to can light fire somewhere else? You can't say, no, that's my fire. Come on, I mean, what are you gonna lose with this? Give them a piece of that fire, let them light another fire for themselves on the side and so on. So these are three things. And here, the Prophet ﷺ says, somebody who has excess water, and he's not giving it to one who is needing it in the desert. Why is that considered an offense or punishment? Because what's the consequence of not giving that excess water to the traveler?
The traveler might die.
Exactly. It might be considered fatal. If not, at least you create an unnecessary hardship on this individual. Does that only happen in the desert? What about here? Besides it being desert, yani, but what about somewhere not necessarily in the desert? Does it have to be in the desert? No. Whenever you have excess water and someone is in need of that water, you should share. Whether you're driving, you're flying, you're on a train, anywhere, if there's excess water, you should share that water. The second category, the Prophet ﷺ said, قال, وَرَجُلٌ بَايَعَ رَجُلًا سِلْعَةً بَعْدَ الْعَصْرِ فَحَلَفَ بِاللَّهِ لَأَخَذَهَا بِكَذَا وَكَذَا فَصَدَّقَهُ وَهُوَ عَلَى غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ. He goes, someone, a man, not talking about transactions, business right now. He says, a man, رَجُلٌ بَايَعَ رَجُلًا, someone who sells a commodity to another person after the afternoon salah and swears by Allah that he has bought it at a such and such price, and the buyer pays him accordingly, though in reality it was not true. What does that mean, Jama'ah? Cheating in transactions. Simply cheating in transactions. So the Prophet ﷺ gave a specific description to imagine it. He goes, someone comes after Asr. Why after Asr was mentioned over here? What's the special time about after Asr? Some ulama, they say it's because of what? Huh? It's the end of the day, but what is so special about it? It says because that's the time when the angels take in shifts. So as the angel exchange your shift, that's a time when you need to do something good, right? Make sure the last thing that the angels carry with them for the day is something good you've done. And now this individual ends his record with what? Using the name of Allah Azza wa Jal falsely. What a great offense over here. And the ulama, they say, because after Asr, Allah says, wal Asr. He swears by Al-Asr, so it's a significant time as well too. Also Allah says, حَافِظُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ وَالصَّلَاةِ الْوُسْطَى. Make sure that you maintain salawat, your five daily prayers, particularly the middle one. And many ulama, they say the middle one is a salat al-asr. So therefore, since the Prophet gave it that significance, this man, in a virtuous time like this, swears by Allah Azza wa Jal that I got this commodity for such and such, and he's lying about it. And the other person believes him. Why did he believe this person? فَحَلَفَ. He used the name of Allah Azza wa Jal to make sure to facilitate that sale. And that's a great offense over here. And the Prophet ﷺ also, some ulama, they say he used after Asr. Why? Because it's a very kind of like awkward time. People what? Are tired, exhausted, the end of the day, before the sunset. So when you go and you buy something from somebody, do you have the energy to bargain with them? You don't. So if you tell me you got it for this, I'll trust you. So therefore he's lying about this matter. But are you allowed even to sell things with high price? Can you, let's say I bought something for $10. Can I sell it for $50? If the market price is like this, bismillah, sell it. And you get $40, mashallah, profit? Allah, that's good business, alhamdulillah, rabbi amin. Yes, you are allowed to do it. Except in times of necessities, that would be different. But generally speaking, yes. And here, if the man tells you, can I get it for 25? And you say, wallahi, I got it for 20. And you got it for 5. That's a big lie. So therefore, it's considered a big offense. And the third one, the Prophet ﷺ says, قال, وَرَجُلٌ بَايَعَ إِمَامًا لَا يُبَايِعُهُ إِلَّا لِدُنْيَا فَإِنْ أَعْطَاهُ مِنْهَا وَفَى وَإِنْ لَمْ يُعْطِهِ مِنْهَا لَمْ يَفِي مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. And a man who gives a pledge to a leader, that's basically in an Islamic system, when someone gives a pledge to a leader, basically become like al-bay'a between the imam, the leader, and the individuals. And this man, he gives the bay'ah, he gives the pledge to the leader because he's intending to get something from the dunya out of it. He's not doing it sincere, giving him his pledge. No, he's not sincere to the man. Rather, he just wants to get something out of it. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قَالْ فَأَنَعْطَاهَ مِنْهَا وَفَى. If he got what he intends to get out of this pledge, he'll be pleased. He fulfilled his promise. But if he doesn't, قَالْ وَإِنْ لَمْ يُعْطِ مِنْهَا يُعْطِهِ مِنْهَا. If he didn't get what he was promised he would be given, then he, in this case, he would not follow that pledge, which means he would breach that word of pledge. And that's considered actually a major sin, to breach the pledge, especially the pledge with the imam. And when we say imam, we talk about the leader, basically. That's a great offense. Nowadays, obviously, that system is different. Political system is different than it used to be before. So the concept of pledge is not as it was before. So does hadith apply to the leaders of our time? Supposed democracies, which means there's a social contract. We selected you because we trust you that you're going to follow these guidelines. And if you don't, we have the right to object to your rule, for instance. That's a little bit different system than it used to be before. The same hadith, by the way, the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned other categories in other hadith. Like in hadith of Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ says, of the three categories, he says, قال, for the same punishment. Allah will not look at them, he's not speaking to them, he's going to be punished them on the day of judgment. He says, قال المسبلو إزاره, the one who let his thobe go loose below their ankles. And that's an argument among the ulama, difference of opinion. Is it for everybody? Is it someone who's only doing it out of arrogance or not? That's a different story. But the Prophet says, those who do so, and the ulama say, by ijma', anyone who let his thobe go loose all the way down below their ankles, out of arrogance and show off, this person will be punished by that. The second category is al-mannan, someone who keeps taunting people with his kindness. You give people something, like, with all due respect, happens in masajid a lot. When people give and they keep telling you, well, I built this masjid. You know, this is my money. Ya akhi, keep it. Don't give it to the masjid then. If you're going to give it for the sake of Allah. You're not giving it to the board, you're not giving it to the imam. You give it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep taunting people with the generosity, that's not good. That's absolutely forbidden. It's also mentioned in Surah Ali Imran as well. قَوْلٌ مَعْرُوفٌ خَيْرٌ مَنْ صَدَقَ يَتْبَعُهُ أَذَى. Allah says that you say a good word better than giving people charity and then start reminding them with that stuff. And the third category was mentioned about the one who's selling his commodity, swearing by the name of Allah, knowing that he's being a liar. That's another category the Prophet ﷺ mentioned about these three people. And there are other actually hadiths mentioned different categories. The point is, sometimes we look at some offenses to be light. Like, you don't think this is a very major thing. I mean, what's the point if someone has an extra bottle of water, they hide it in the bag and let the people go thirsty on the train or on the, for example, the bus? Although you have mashallah plenty of water, you don't need all of that. That is an offense. Someone thinking that, you know, if I have extra fire in the desert, I'm not going to give anybody. That's also another offense. So make sure that whenever you think of what is considered haram, wrong, don't look at how small that sin is. Look how great against whom that sin has been committed. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That will help you measure it and practice the right thing, inshallah. May Allah protect us from all these offenses, ya Rabbil Alameen. Wallahu alam. Any questions, Jama'a? Yes. So the question is that hadith explicitly speaking about water? Or does that mean maybe expand the meaning to it to wealth? Is that what you're saying? The answer is water, exclusively the water over here. Na'am. Wallah, subhanakallah wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.